including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Warning.
Condolences to those people in San Jose who have to bury a brother this weekend. We hope that turns out peacefully and hope everything gets on board. Now, a lot to talk about. A lot to talk about, guy.
Yeah. You know, since you brought that up.
Well, yes. What about what I brought up?
No, not but I mean, you know, it kind of takes a... I think it's time for the tribute song, Bill.
Why not? Why not? Let's put it on.
We'll play this for him, and then we'll come
back.
Yeah,
that makes us feel good. Put it in perspective.
We'll dedicate this to the boys.
To all the boys, to all the motorcycle riding people in the world that enjoy this day in freedom, understand there's no guarantee in this life. It doesn't go on forever.
No, it doesn't.
But as long as you keep your friend in your mind and in your heart, you'll always have these people.
And you want to introduce this girl?
Oh, you go ahead. I don't have my glasses on.
Well, this is Forever Angel by...
Yeah, that's right, out of Germany, right?
That's
Axel Rudy Powell out of Deutschland. Does a good job on saying, not speaking just for his club, but for all the people who ride motorcycles at Freedom. So with that on board, let's hit it, brother. Fire him. Boom. situations arise and some people in San Jose have to bury one of their brothers, remind everybody that the loss of one affects all of us. But if you know that man personally and keep him in your heart, he'll always be there memory-wise. Mm-hmm. The incident happened, of course, is not our business. We're not going to comment on it. But again, bottom line is another man's dead, and another man's dead. So remember your actions if you take your actions, boys and girls. Anybody's going to the San Jose area, that'd be a good place to stop by, say hello, pay respects, and all that.
Because of this.
And the downtrodden.
You want to introduce that real quick, though?
Oh, Johnny Cash is God's going to cut you down.
I think this rant's worth listening to again, Bill.
Is this political rant?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm trying to find out where this guy is so I can get him on the show, Bill.
I would get Herman Cain on the show. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
Here we
go. Keep him on this show.
This is to the government. The United States government. No, $14.6 trillion, B. All my credit cards would have been cut off a long time before that. All I'm asking y'all to do is balance the fucking budget, B. That's all y'all got to do. Son, we voted for y'all because we were worried about gay rights, marijuana getting legalized, all of these other things that we were concerned about. How can we get roads, more money for schools? You bastards can't even balance a checkbook. A checkbook, B? This is something every American has to go through every week. We got to figure out what we're going to pay, what we got to put off a little bit. You bastards got the $14.6 trillion before you realize, oh, shit. We've reached the debt ceiling. Listen, you're the best and the brightest. Harvard, Yale, Brown, Cornell, this is what we put out. Should have went to Norfolk State. Bastards, you would have got the same education. You would have spent a whole lot less money. Simple fucks. All I'm saying to you is, and this isn't personal. This isn't Democratic or Republican. This is everybody. Stop being a dickhead and balance the fucking budget. My second question, though, my second issue is, how the fuck do you owe China, B? How you owe China? How can I tell my daughter with a straight face that capitalism is a better system than communism if we're borrowing all of our fucking money from the biggest communist country on the fucking planet? You ass, get your... Ooh, stop your life, B. Get your whole shit together. Get all of your shit together. Don't do another press conference. Fuck CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Don't do any more television appearances until you got my fucking budget balanced. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this. Everybody who has a loan to the federal government, fuck paying it. Don't pay your budget. Don't pay your bills because they ain't paying this. The fuck I got to pay my bills for if you don't pay your bills? I'm not doing what you don't do. You're the leader. I'm following. You don't pay, I don't pay. How about that, simple motherfuckers? Who is your credit score? What's the government's credit score right now? It's got to be a 350. But you motherfuckers going to tell me I can't buy a car if my credit score is at a certain number? Your whole life is a 350, B. Your FICO score, your Experian, fucking TransUnion, all your shit's low, B. Get your shit together. President Obama, personal to you, all the black people was proud. We got a black president. You acting like one right now, B. Pay your fucking bills on time. Now, I ain't even, it's too fucking hot for me to talk. I'm sweating and shit. Shit got me sweating. You know why? Because y'all ain't paid a fucking light bill on Earth. That's why 37 fucking states right now going through a heat wave. Because not only y'all not pay the fucking Chinese, y'all didn't pay the fucking light bill. You see how fucking hot it is? I'm fucking, I'm pissed the fuck. I can't.
You know, you're a man trying to make a point, and let's just talk about that a quick second. You drive American cars, you drive American motorcycles. I drive American cars, I drive American motorcycles. It's not going to affect you and I, but we got to look at our grandchildren.
Yeah.
Our grandchildren are going to grow up in a world where America is not the super being, well, super being. It's these countries that we're subletting everything out to. We're buying all their crap. We're going to make it one day when it's not going to, we're not going to have our children growing up, our grandchildren growing up saying, yeah, America's the greatest country in the world. And what are we doing about it? All we're doing is giving these foreign countries more and more and more power. I don't understand that. I ask people, try to do a little bit of care when you're shopping. Look for the label. If it doesn't say made in America, hey man, you know, you can get a cheaper product, but don't do it.
No.
You want to go out and buy yourself a Hyundai or a Kawasaki or anything. You know, again, I'm not against people making money. I'm just trying to say that if American workers ain't making, if America ain't making the money, you got to look what you're doing. You're shooting yourself in the foot today, it's going to affect you later on in life.
That's correct.
I'm not even going to be real chicken shit talking about that. Mitsubishi was a company that made those airplanes that were bombing us during World War II, and Honda and Kawasaki and... These are all people that made weapons against America. I'm not going to talk about Mercedes-Benz. We know who they were with in World War II, Hitler and all the boys. The world's shrinking. I understand that. It's global. It goes back to, again, it's if we can't have Americans making it, then we either got to put a high, high tariff on it, or we got to do something, because I just don't like to see the way our children are growing, man. I don't know. And you know I can't stand these cell phones and all that, but every time I turn around, they're all come from Japan. Everything's come from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
People in America, the unions are not perfect. God knows they've been caught in the cookie jar so many times. If we lose the unions, we lose everything. We've got to keep America by buying American products. If you can't say, God bless America, then there's something wrong with you.
Yep.
So I don't want to... Get a real spiritual thing on that, but China is so successful because it has the worst human rights record in the world. And we in America are supporting, we're endorsing, we're hugging them. For what? No, no, no.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a few years back in Hawaii, especially Oahu, they passed a law, I don't know if you know, it's not screwed over, no more Japanese investment in the hotel area because they own so many damn hotels. I was over there, and I'm saying, well, that's absolutely crazy. He said, yes, Bill, but on the positive side, Japan will never attack Pearl Harbor again. You know why? Because they own the goddamn place. That's why they'll never attack it again. Okay, I'm not bad-mouthing Japan. I'm never bad-mouthed Japan. Now it's no longer a communist country. I'm only bad-mouthing the communist countries, excuse me. So, I don't know. You just can't accept China when it's an enemy of democracy. People say, well, Bill, you've got to accept other people in. No, I don't.
No, you don't.
No, I don't.
You know, Bill, this right here says it all.
Oh. You know, what do they say? They got half the population in the world, and they own all of the, and that's why they run it. Yeah,
yep.
Well, I don't know. Could we stand women being better than men as presidents? Maybe so.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Bill Clinton the other day. You know, he's I think he went vegan on us.
Yeah.
See how skinny he looks? That's kind of sad. I like the Bill fat Bill Clinton. He looked a little better, you know, running around Monica and all that. Yeah, he looked real sad on TV the other day. So we're talking about, again, if we, the Republican Party, can't come up with a good person, what are we going to do? I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. Obama's going to be it again. I'm with the Republican Party. I am against the Democratic choice. I'm totally against it, but I'm going to tell you, Republican Party is it's a confused organization. They have no idea what they're doing. They have no leadership whatsoever. If we, the people, can't come, we, the Republicans, can't come together and come together strong, and I haven't relooked at Herman Cain. You follow him a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if he's the right guy. He's got a lot of good ideas, but he didn't come across on the program as very, I don't know, warm. He didn't come warm across, so I'm not sure about that. Now, do I think a black guy would be better than a white guy or an Indian guy? You know what I always say this right now? I just want the best person for the job. I'd vote for a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Not for that white snowflake from Alaska. She just kind of gets on my nerves. But if the right person came along, you know,
mm-hmm.
Democrat or Republican, I'd be happy. I will vote Republican only because that's the way I am. I don't change party lines. I believe in the Republican Party. Just that we get a bunch of losers.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you or somebody else out there that's a Republican, they're going to run for office, by God, make the move now. Maybe you and I could go in. There we go.
I don't know, Bill. I don't think we're too progressive.
Well, that run that you went to on Friday. Now, we're both there Friday, excuse me, you know, for the Marine Corps Ball.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell everybody about the importance of the Marine Corps Ball? Tell us what, because a lot of people don't quite understand that. What's it about? What's it for? It
celebrates the birthday of the Marines, Bill.
Yeah, okay, that's what it stands for. But to a young Marine in first time, what's
they
it
don't
like?
Get
They don't get it
until after the first, maybe the first couple of years.
But it's all dress.
Yes.
It's probably the they're all in their dress blues, right?
That's correct.
I'm sure that was a little bit. Sure that.
Bad memories, Bill.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Then I'll talk about it. We Army guys, we know about that for sure. I don't think we even have dress anything in the Army. We must have something. I don't remember anything, though. Anyway, yeah, being out here in California in Camp Pendleton, right next to Oceanside, Marine Corps Balls is a special time. All these young guys are all with their dress blue uniforms, walking around. The girls are on, like, prom dresses. So it's kind of like one night Cinderella, I guess. If for some reason you didn't do your high school prom, for whatever reason you didn't do it, for some of the Marines, that is their high school prom. That's a once-in-a-lifetime deal like that.
See, somebody said...
Shut up, Bill. What?
No. Absentia, who is in London, Bill, listening from London, Bill, said, my thoughts, all governments are puppets to the rich, and suits will bend anyway the pay is good, no matter who they tread on.
Yes.
It's true.
Trudeau and I have had the privilege of meeting several people that have gone into government, and in the course of years, every one of them has sold their soul.
Mm-hmm.
To get a law passed, they've had to add on other laws. Even though they knew the other law was no good, they thought their law was so important, they had to accept it. I don't understand that thought at all. You want me to vote for your law, you have to vote for my law. Your law is good, my law is no good, but if you don't vote for mine, I won't vote for yours. What a stupid system. What a stupid system. We need to find a way where honest people in there are making honest choices. Problem is with the greed, the corruption. I don't... Years ago, if my daughter told me that, Daddy, we had a congressman come into class, I'd say, good. Today, I don't think I want a congressman to talk to my daughter. I just don't think he carries the weight it did when I was a child.
No. God help her if she gives him a phone number. And be sending her fucking cock shots and shit.
Yeah,
a short talk.
I don't know. I think that... this is only my opinion only. The assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy kind of woke America up to that we're not always the guys wearing the white hats. We're not always the super guys. Before that, the press was so controlled by the government, we didn't know what was going on. After JFK died, I think we all started doubting the press. Doubting our government. And there's nothing wrong with doubting our government. You know, you don't have to take everything at face value. For me, I just sit there and I try to listen to politicians. I just can't feel, I don't have confidence in any of them at this point in time.
No.
And I think Obama's going to be the next president because we, the Republicans, we have nobody. Nobody. Anyway, I don't mean to depress everybody. You know, the point is, though, somewhere out there tonight, somebody could be listening to us thinking, maybe I should run. If you think you should run for an office, city council, mayor, governor, president, if you think you can make a difference, then you probably can. But don't wait for the other guy to come.
No.
Because we don't have the other guys doing anything in there. Because I'm not sure they accept you and I the way we look and all that.
No. If you'd like to
yes, from what part of England? You say London, or you didn't?
Yeah,
you said London. Oh.
Pretty sure it's London, though.
You know, I'd love to have Absentia. I'd love to have you call in from England for a second or two and say hello to us if you feel up to it. Love to hear your voice and you say hello. We promise that we'll be nice guys. We promise we won't embarrass you. That's probably not true. We might try to embarrass you a little bit, but I got the long gray hair. You can trust me, little girl. Should I read the phone number out loud? Oh, you put it in four already. Okay,
and it's all the phone hacking.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Here. They confronted him. Yeah, they got him on that private reserve today.
Yeah. I like his idea, but he didn't come across as a warm person. He comes across as somebody that's...
Comes across as an uptight asshole.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking, but he may be the best Republican candidate we have, and I don't even like the guy. I felt kind of bad that McCain couldn't pull it off, but I think he's a little too old.
Mm-hmm.
I think the pressure was too much on him, and he was not a good public speaker. And let's face it, if you go way back to the first John Fitzgerald Kennedy and Richard Nixon debate, that was the first televised event. If you ever take the time to listen to that, Richard Nixon, point by point, outperformed Jack Kennedy, every category except for one, and that was the fact that the people believed JFK because he was clean-shaven and good-looking, and Nixon had a 5 o'clock shadow, he looked like some scumbag. So we need somebody in here to see that we can trust, somebody wants to speak to us, the people.
Uh-huh.
I just don't think anybody cares about us.
She's got about one credit on her phone, Bill says it would go in seconds.
She had 1 pound credit. I don't know what 1 pound is in dollar-wise.
I think about $1.50 or something, $1.55, something like that, if I remember right.
Well, you know, if not a phone call, maybe.
Yeah, we got Larry. You know, Larry sent us that picture of the motorcycle.
Oh, yeah,
with
yeah, 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 right.
Larry's
that was
listening.
Classic, yeah.
Larry's listening.
That's a good deal with that. You would have proud of us for that program we did for the Marine Corps ball. There was a lot of nice young guys out there. We had to thank all the Hooter girls that came, too.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah, but that was fucked up, though. That,
go ahead and say it. Go ahead and say it.
That fucking dyke broad.
Yep.
Made him go change and put pants on.
Yep. Go ahead and say
and
it.
And then she had the balls to fucking bitch about she didn't get a shirt. And she bought the wrong tickets for the raffle. That's not my fault. That's not your fault.
No.
That wasn't.
We don't handle tickets. We just handle numbers.
That was anybody, you know.
Yeah. I brought her up on stage, too, remember?
Yeah, but if you pay attention, yeah, well, she didn't like that either.
No,
she
liked it, yeah.
She's mad because you did that to
her. Oh, I heard that from people.
Yeah.
He brought me up on stage. What the hell? I tell you, come up on stage. You come up on stage. Why would you come up on stage?
Yeah.
Why in God's, why would anybody go up on stage and trust me? I don't understand that at all.
No, and you know,
I'm
never
a nice
used,
guy.
You know, I never used the C word, Bill.
Yeah.
But that day, I wanted to tell her, shut the fuck up, you.
She didn't like being up there with me. She didn't like anything at all. But that's kind of sad. Kind
no.
of sad. Sad
and then,
and lonely.
And then, when the band played and she started dancing with the other broad.
Yeah.
That would have never happened unless they were told they don't have to be in the closet no more.
Yeah. You know, the band wasn't that bad. I thought they were pretty darn good, you know?
Yeah.
They were nice stuff.
But, I mean... Yeah, it was crazy, Bill.
However, the general of Camp Pendleton, I forgot his name already, the new Big Cheese, he thought it was a good idea, and he's hoping to have future events where we can include Camp
they
Pendleton.
They want to do it every 15th of the month, Bill. But if that chick's involved, it's like we told him, go talk to the people above her,
yeah.
Not her, because she's a...
Hey, let's talk about this real quickly. This organization had a motorcycle run. I hope everybody's listening to this one here. They called me at first, wanted to put out in my shop, Kennedy's Custom Cycles in Oceanside. I said, well, for the military, we're always game for anything. Great. We'd like to meet on a Friday morning.
Which was fucked up because it's between paydays.
Exactly.
Then you know, we did it for them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them guys, you know, they buying shit they can't afford.
Right.
So they didn't have any fucking money.
Yeah.
So basically everything we did, like it was Bill, we were involved with $3,500 paid out for that fucking day.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I was in for $1. I was in for $100 myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, but so good, though. They want to do it on a Friday morning and they wanted to include the public in this. Yet the public has to work on a Friday. They had asked me, could they, you know, start the event at my shop, set up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
You don't even get out of bed.
I'm not kidding. Everybody that knows me, it's never going to happen. So I agreed to contact, excuse me, folks. The local authorized dealership, Biggs Harley Davidson, I'll get a nice promotion for them there. And they agreed to do it. And then you and then our good friend out there, Jesse Gunn, the event coordinator, said, hey, man, you know, why don't you and Phil come on up and do the event, do the MC of the event at 12:30, which is a Christian civilized time for me. 12:30 morning or nighttime. I don't care. Either way, 12:30 is okay with me. But this case here, we came out at 12:30 and... without tooting our own horn, it's a good thing we came up on stage and ran the event because...
it was dying.
Yeah. The Marine Corps wanted to try to do the whole thing
themselves,
Bill, and they didn't know what to do.
And you know, Bill, they didn't even give the guy... It was like 85 degrees.
Yeah.
The guy cooked, had all the food ready for when they came back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fuckers put $2 in the tip jar? $2.
Well, let's hope there's some of the lessons that were learned, and they were rather harsh lessons, can be modified next time. First of all, we cannot have them run just for the military.
And I just got an instant message, Bill. Bradley Parfet in Australia. He's on the road, because I asked him if he was going to call in. He's on the road. There's a brother down. So our condolences are...
Another brother down. Yeah. All right, then. You know, this happens so much, and it doesn't have to be your club person or could be a club person. It doesn't matter. Each loss, it's like one less link in the chain. I'm sure you guys heard that over and over and over, but it's true. Change is only good as we're strong, but every day we lose people. And it makes the motorcycle community a less of a community. Even though we all can't get along, and you and I don't get along with everybody.
No,
still
I
resent everybody that we leave them. You know, it's
sad. I've had people
Yes, you have, I guess, huh?
No, I'm sorry.
I know what you're doing. I'm just jumping back in.
No, it's crazy, Bill, because we told them, why are you going to do it on a Friday?
Yeah. 6 o'clock in the morning. Who's going to show up my shop?
Well, we made it a command function. Well, everybody doesn't fucking beat to that drum.
That's right. Yeah. If the purpose was to make the community more aware of the event, Marine Corps Ball, hence we need to get the community in there.
Hence, it would have been better to do it
the very next day on a Saturday. We could get the public or Sunday.
Or the 15th. That way those guys would have got paid on Friday. People
would
have had money.
Or 16th. We could have done
that. We did it for them, Bill.
Yeah.
I don't even want to tell you how much money they fucking raised, Bill. It's ridiculous.
It was weak. It was weak because they had no structure and all that. And if you're going to bring the public in, you got to have the public access to it. And nobody's going to take off work and lose a whole day's pay. Now, let's get this straight. Screwdriver is a Marine. I'm former military, not a Marine. We do help military, but sometimes it's like we're banging our heads against the wall. They got to do it their way and their way only. To send a hoot of girls off the stage and make them go put pants on.
Yeah.
Now, if you haven't been to Hooters, I'm going to tell you folks, wherever you're in.
I see more people take their kids to Hooters.
Yeah.
What
are they going to do? Never take anybody down by the beach?
No.
These girls had shorts on. And they had pantyhose underneath the shorts, I think. Right. And then tennis shoes. They wore the little sexy top. That's it. Nothing improper, but no. Can't have that stuff going on. I'm hoping that'll all work out okay. And they got quite a talking to before they left.
Oh, yeah. And that was fucked up.
Yeah.
We told you not to. Hey.
Yeah.
You got to understand, when you get somebody to do that shit, you know, and come out and spend a day, and they aren't getting paid.
No. We had a lot of volunteers that helped there, yeah.
Okay, and when the girls came and said they got a message from the corporate sponsorship or corporate Hooters saying, no, you can't go without wearing the uniform.
Yeah.
So they came and left, which was, everybody got excited when they came because people were all trying to run out to and get pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came back with the pants on, it wasn't that much of an effect.
Now, I do want to say that if you say, well, it sounds like you and Screwed are pretty sexist. Let me explain to you about when I'm on stage. Nobody pays attention to me. It's okay. I understand that. Now, I bring a couple dancers in. I bring some hoodoo girls in. I now have a captive audience. They are at least looking my way. When I speak, I have four quadrants. I speak to the right front quadrant in front of me. Then I go to the left rear quadrant. Then I bring it up to the left front quadrant, and then I go to all the way back on the right. I constantly talk to different aspects of the audience. In my case, I usually look for women in each area because at least the women are looking to me. What is he saying? If I don't bring attractive young women up on stage, they don't care. Unless I'm reading the damn number off, and even then I have the hoodoo girls read that off so I get
You know,
attention.
Somebody, Bill, somebody just sent in, you know, I really do hate boneheads, but bonehead women have a special place in the crack of my ass. That was sent to us by Jamie.
And that's girl that sent that in, okay. Oh, yeah, crazy things about, well, Bill, you and Screwdriver are on exactly Chippendales. Well, women are more open-minded. Men are just, you know what, this is a joke. I hope everybody appreciates this. Hang on a second now. God made women beautiful.
Don't fuck this up.
You get me lost here for a second. God made beautiful. God made women beautiful so men would be attracted to them. God made women stupid so women would be attracted to men. That's a very sad, sad joke. But
I told you don't fuck that up.
I try not to let it go. I say that in humor. I say that in jest and all that. Let me try to recover that. Women can see a holy man, and based upon his character, his judgment, they can see there goes a man's man. But unfortunately for we men, that unless a woman looks like Barbie doll, we more often not do not take a second look at them. How do I recover from that?
Well, it's just like, you know, it's just like that one I put up, Bill, that says good girls bend at the knees, bad girls bend at the wrist. And Molly says I must be in between.
Oh. Well, you know how to tell if you go out for a date with a girl and if you got a really good date?
There you go.
You know how I do that?
Go ahead.
When you ask her to dance and she jumps up on the table.
Mm-hmm.
I know it. I just know somewhere somebody's writing, he ain't funny. I know. It's just, it comes to me now and then. I see a few people long distance who just barely putting up with me. I'm like this on stage, too. I'm not funny either on stage. But I have beautiful women always, so that puts up with it there.
Well, you know, Bill, I got something for you here. Let me see.
You get some bad messages from me earlier?
No.
Okay.
Let me see if I can find it here real quick.
I love when people write, well, what makes Bill Kinney think he's so good-looking? I don't think I'm good-looking. I accept that. I'm just an average guy. I'm a man's man. But there's nothing wrong with a little bit of humor. Take it with a grain of salt, please.
Well, you know, Bill, it's like this. She's not perfect. You aren't either. And the two of you will never be perfect. But if she can make you laugh at least once, cause you to think twice, and if she admits to being human and making mistakes, hold on to her and give her the most you can. She isn't going to quote poetry. She's not thinking about you every moment, but she will give you the part of her that she knows you could break. Don't hurt her, don't change her, and don't expect more than she can give. Don't analyze. Smile when she makes you happy. Yell when she makes you mad. And miss her when she's not there. Love hard when there is love. Because a perfect woman doesn't exist, but there's always a woman that's perfect for you, Bill.
Very, very, very touching. I'm surprised those words came out of your mouth. That's quite...
I have my moments, Bill.
You know, I've always been obsessed with strippers and dancers, and that's
really?
Where my life is.
Are you sure?
I know. I got married because my wife told me, all these girls you're running around with, all of these girls are more beautiful.
You know, I usually tell them, no, you can't touch it, Bill, because you already broke yours off.
And he's talking about, yes, indeed. My wife told me that, and I realized that, yeah, if you can find somebody out there to love as much as they love you, you're ahead of the game. If you are in a relationship with your best friend, then you're ahead of the game. So many people are in unhappy relationships. So many people are lonely. So we make a little bit of humor about it, but I appreciate the fact I'm in a good relationship.
Because, you know, Bill, there's another one, too. I got another one, Bill.
Are you getting me out of it? Are you getting in trouble, I hope?
No, this was sent to me by a nurse, Bill. She said, 20 years, I've never laughed at a patient. Okay, then, said Fred. And he proceeded to drop his trousers, revealing the tiniest penis the nurse has ever seen. Length and width. It couldn't have been bigger than a AAA battery. Unable to control herself, the nurse started giggling, then fell to the floor laughing. 10 minutes later, she was able to struggle to her feet and regain her composure. I'm so sorry, she said. I don't know what came over me. On my honor as a nurse, and then I promise it won't happen again. Now tell me, what seems to be the problem? It's swollen.
Well, I remember an old joke, and we're going down the hill quickly. I went in to see a girl, and he dropped his pants and all that, and she said, who do you expect to please with that? And he said, me. God, we're going downhill today. I apologize to everybody. It should be a nicer show. Some days it just goes in the toilet early. I'm looking at these girls' names, which are not writing really nice things about me. Well. If you can see through to my innards, if you can appreciate who I am,
mm-hmm.
then please excuse my being a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Guys think things are funny. Women think they're sensitive. Well, the happiness and the secret to my marriage is we have separate bathrooms.
Well, it sounds like a personal thing, though.
And the second secret to my, we have separate TV rooms. I don't want to see sitcoms. I don't want to see her house fixing whatever and all that crap stuff like that. I think that's our secret. I want to watch some war documentary, AEE or Discovery or something, and she wants to watch fix this old crummy house up. It doesn't have to be the same thing. We can respect each other's difference. So for you people out there having a hard time, think of what I said. You don't need to share a bathroom with your wife.
Well, Bill, you know, it's like this. If you think you're really having a bad day,
yeah.
Remember, you could look like this. And what does it look like? It looks like
a
penis.
Oh, never mind. Oh, God. That's an AA battery, right?
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, here's another one, Bill. You'll like this one. A man is stranded on a desert island, all alone for 10 years. One day, he sees a speck on the horizon. He thinks to himself, it's not a ship. The specks get a little closer, and he thinks it's not a boat. The speck gets even a little closer, and he thinks it's not a raft. Then out of the surf comes this gorgeous blonde woman. Well, she's wearing a wetsuit and scuba gear. She comes up to the guy and says, how long has it been since you've had a cigarette? He says, 10 years. She reaches over and unzips a waterproof pocket on her left sleeve and pulls out a fresh pack of cigarettes, Bill. He takes one, lights it, takes a long drag, and says, man, oh man, is that good? Then she asks, how long has it been since you've had a drink of whiskey? He replies, 10 years. She reaches over and unzips the waterproof pocket on the right side, pulls out a flask, and gives it to him. He takes a long swing and says, wow, that was fantastic.
Cigarette and alcohol, there we go.
Then she starts unzipping this long zipper that runs down the front of her wetsuit, and she says to him, how long has it been since you've had some real fun? And the man replied, my God, don't tell me you've got a motorcycle in there.
See, it's just the way we think. We don't quite think the way you women do. It doesn't mean we're off. What's that book, Women from Venus, Men from Mars? Remember that something?
No, I got a book.
I never read it.
I got a book. Bill, I got a book that was given to me, Everything You Want to Know About Women. You open it up and the pages are blank.
What are you supposed to give it to your wife? She'll tell you what to do? You know, I finished reading this little book about fear recently. Just before I took off on my trip because I was going by myself and with the wife, one motorcycle. And the interesting part of fear was that the anxiety of the event is always more serious than the actual event. So I had focus on, again, I'm going a long distance. I'm going to leave one state, go two other states, and come back totally by myself. For me not to worry about what was happening, for me not to take fun out of it, I said, I will take this 1 mile at a time, 1 day at a time. I will enjoy my trip. One of the best trips I had. I wasn't worried about the throttle breaking. I wasn't worried about a flat tire. Although it's always in the back of my mind. It's something you can't fix the side of the road. It was a good book. It just told me, it said, don't let the anxiety of the event even be more serious than the event itself. So if a flat tire comes along, deal with it. It was a very nice trip. A lot of times I go cross country. First day out, I'm a little gun shy, worried about, man, did I check everything out?
You had some trouble in Bullhead City, didn't you?
No, not the motorcycle.
Get sick, right?
Oh, and my wife got sick, yes. The temperature climbed 90 degrees the first day, and I woke up the second day in Kingman City, and it was 103. By the time I packed up and tried to get out, it was already 105. And with my wife's diabetes and MS, that pushed her over the edge a little bit. That was kind of a rough call. But, you know, hey, I was able to get to Las Vegas, air-conditioned hotel. Life is good.
She didn't bite her old man's tiger off. She cut it off. She's talking about beware of Lorraine Bobbitt.
Is she still around?
No.
Oh,
yeah, she's still around.
Okay.
Right now.
You know, I would expect you as my friend to take that bitch out if that happened to me. That's just something I'm going to tell you right now. I expect you to do something about that. That doesn't mean start dating all my girlfriends and all that. I'm saying go out and take that one bitch out. For all of us guys, take them out, you know.
Well, Bill, it's like the chick that did it and threw in the garbage.
Just even. Oh, my God. And, you know, he wasn't cheating on her or nothing.
He was.
Yeah. What's the fine? Cheating on her. Okay.
You don't want to go there. Skip that one.
Just my luck. My wife's listening, saying, oh, he's going to get it when he gets home tonight.
Absolutely. I think we'll take a break for a song, Bill. This one's by Mike P. It's called The Big Homie.
we out of control. Hey. Bad motherfucker, riding through the night. A 50 motherfucker in LA, come on, right. Picture me pulling up my chopper on me.
Screwdriver and I get a lot of... A lot of people don't want
to... You know, he has another opinion about life, Phil.
He's got a lot of opinions. A lot of people say, you guys see the play... We're from Southern California. All right. Screwdriver in San Diego and North San Diego County. And so you guys seem to play an awful lot of one particular group's music. Well, they send it to us. And I understand that there are a lot of motorcycle clubs all across America, and they have music out there. If you would like to send something to us... If it's something we think is a good idea, or if you think it's we think it's something that kind of identifies that all motorcycles, send it to us. We think the freedom of the road goes for all motorcycles. But we do play a lot of one club because they're the ones that send the stuff to us. It's pretty damn basic,
yeah,
you know?
And those guys themselves, like we have, okay, we do Charlie Baker.
That's right. Non-club people.
Non-club people, we do Charlie Baker, we do Stormy Montana.
That's right.
We do like Atticus
Seven.
Country
music, country voice, so that's, you know.
We do
it?
Atticus Seven.
Heavy metal.
Mike P.
Right.
We got Pete Alva's music.
Exactly.
We got...
How's he doing? You talked to him lately?
Yeah, he's doing good.
Good Pete, good Pete. That's right. Yeah. So these people across America that through friends are friends are friends and all that, they're sending us little tidbits of stuff they think it sounds good. What we like, we play.
That's it.
If there's somebody out there... And I'm telling you for a fact, you got something that somebody in your group or your club said, hey, man, we like a little publicity and all that. If it's good music, it's good music.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people don't want to come on the air. They want to listen to us. They want to type these little messages in a screwdriver. He's busy typing like a crazy man back and forth. I don't know why you're uncomfortable. If you're listening to my voice, there's no reason to be uncomfortable. Talk to me. What else we got coming up? Do you want to play another song by Mike P?
Yeah.
Let's kick that in there.
I queued up the wrong one, but...
I caught that. I was kind of
this
concerned
is,
about
this is Mike's opinion on life, Bill.
One man who is in a motorcycle organization, but this is his or his views on life. You're right.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
timer. Goddamn, that's just how it is. A bad motherfucking on the hand of my pen. Like, I don't give a fuck.
Arizona.
Yeah.
It was, once we got out, you know, going down the mountain and stuff about 65, 70, uh-huh. you know, but once I hit the...
Didn't you go to a birthday party or something?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah.
But once I hit the open road, 90, 95 all the way, Bill.
I was real pleased hitting Arizona, 90 degrees, but the next day, the 103 to 105, that just broke my balls, I got to tell you. I'm not a good heat guy. I pulled into the hotel, and I parked my bike in the valet. I sat on the curb, and I told my wife, anybody that walks up to me, just tell them, do not talk to him. I need water. I need to get my composure. The heat was way, way too much for me. So I heard you went over. You had a little heat break. It wasn't quite that bad.
No, it didn't get hot till on my way back, though.
Okay, that was kind of good. I'm glad for that. Worry about you on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not losing sleep about you. Just worried about you on the road, you know? So we have all of these people that are listening, and they're just content to let you and I talk. We need dialogue. Let me explain about dialogue, boys and girls. We talk back and forth.
Somebody went to, they had to have a drink to call, Bill.
I saw that. You don't need to have a drink to call.
No, you don't need to have a drink.
We're never going to shut you off.
No.
Even if we totally disagree with your statement, we will give you whatever time you want. You want to talk about, well, you drive a metric bike, whatever you can. I don't think I'm better than anybody because I drive an American motorcycle. I just think this is what I want to drive. I'm a veteran. I'm a family man. I'm a businessman. I choose to drive what I choose to drive. I never badmouth people with metric motorcycles, and yet in the bars all the time, it's the metric people, the Honda crowd, whatever. Sometimes they're afraid to wave at me. But you notice that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm waving and they're trying to ignore me. What the hell's your problem? If I'm waving at you, wave back.
Well, you know, Bill, it's they're all into the stigma.
Yeah. I don't know what's wrong, you know. I'm a friendly fellow.
So we had somebody going to call, but they said, wait, somebody just called me long distance.
Yeah, I'm looking at that.
Okay.
I don't think I know that person, do I?
No.
No, okay. So here I am talking about motorcycles, talking about freedom of the road, talking about new people, having conversation with us, expanding our friendship. And look at all these people that are listening.
They've been listening. They're listening in London, Bill. They're listening in Australia. They're listening in Europe.
If one person pick up the phone and release me from this bored life I have talking to Screwdriver. We've been talking for several years. One person, and I don't want to say stop listening. I don't want you to stop listening, but I want you to physically call me. Or maybe send nude pictures. What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
That might break the ice. Send nude pictures to me, and I'll just keep talking. You know. Well, no. Our female listeners, please send nude pictures. For God's sakes, don't... I identify that guy with that AAA battery thing. I'm kind of worried about that. We got caller. You're on the air right now. Come in, talk to me, okay? Come on, pick up the phone, talk to me. Who we got?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hi, how are you?
I'm doing
this
fine.
This is
Priscilla. Where are you calling me from?
I'm from Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, you're talking to the right boy here because I'm Bill Kennedy. I'm from South Boston. And we got Screwdriver. Oh. He's Irish too, but he's from Chicago. But, you know, what the hell? We still like him.
The Windy City.
Yeah, I've been there before. It's windy and cold and miserable.
That's why when I got stationed on my last tour, Bill, I decided to stay here.
Oh, I see.
Oh,
because
bummer.
At that time, you could ride your bike in California without a helmet. There was no bullshit. The cops were nailing us every block.
You know what I didn't like about Boston, and I got to tell you, I'm from South Boston, born and raised and all that. I went back 2 years ago to Boston, and I flew into Logan.
Mm-hmm.
And the police in Logan Airport, I thought it was a professional football team. I never seen people that big before. I remember,
yeah.
The Boston cops were big when
I left.
That's
because they're all doing right.
When I was a kid.
Don't you remember a couple years ago when they all
got caught doing
right?
I know, they all got caught doing that. But I thought when I left as a kid that maybe it was my imagination. I came back as an adult. I'm 6'2", 220. I'm thinking, these guys are freaking giants. I had no problem, but they were giant. What city are you from, please?
I am actually located in Alston. So it's a little, it's about 10 minutes from Boston. But I'm in Alston, Mass. Yeah.
All right. Give me another
city. The police officers are definitely pretty big here. They were actually just arresting like 100 protesters in Boston the other day. So I've been watching the news and going through the city and all of this commotion, and they're pretty large.
this protesting, do you think it has any volition? Do you think these people are going to make any statement, or are they just going to get their 15 minutes of fame? Is this just something without any outcome, or what do you?
Well, you know, Bill, I'm trying to give Priscilla 15 minutes of fame.
You mean about 2.5 minutes?
No.
I've heard from your other girlfriends.
She's just okay. She's
her girlfriend.
She's just.
Regarding your question, I actually haven't been following the protest that much, but you know, Mayor Menino has actually voiced his support, and I guess the protesters in D.C. is going to be flying out to Boston to protest here. So even though
the Marines have landed in New York City to protect the public.
Yeah, so it's going to be very chaotic, and it's actually disrupting the city at this point because the traffic is insane. We had to cancel a few events in that area because there's tents everywhere. So
they're trying to get them to move out of that park so they can clean it, but they say they're going to let them back in, but I don't think they're going to.
Yeah, and they don't have permits anymore. So, or some groups didn't even have permits. So it's going to be very chaotic.
The funny part about it is this is America. You shouldn't need a permit for that.
Yeah, but there were other things. I believe there was a food festival that was going to be happening today, and they had their permits for months, and they couldn't even do their events because of the protests. So
I got mixed feelings about that.
People's business already.
Civil disobedience should be all right, but when you were doing something and you were actually taking away hurt in another event or something like that, I think that's when you gotta stop and take a look.
You know,
civil
Bill,
I
need to interrupt you for a minute, Bill.
Okay.
Because you have three women on the phone, Bill.
Okay.
The one from 604.
Yeah, that's me.
That's Marlene.
Marlene, hi.
You were just talking to Priscilla.
And we don't want Priscilla to leave us.
And 514.
514. You're on the air. Who is it, please?
Yes. Hi.
Hi. Where are you calling from?
Montreal.
Oh.
This is Kitty Cat.
Kitty
yes,
Cat,
did
I talk to you before?
No.
Okay.
You'll ask before you hang up.
Okay, you don't hang up. I want to ask you a question about socks. All the ladies, please, we're talking a little bit about the civil disobedience going on in the different cities. Do you think this is something that is legit? Do you think it's something the American public should stand behind? Or do you think there's just some more small politicians grandstanding? Anybody want to comment on that?
I didn't hear your question.
Yeah. I was admiring the manly, handsome voice and didn't pay attention to the question.
Do me a favor, though. Turn your sound down
attention
in the background.
I'm sorry?
Just turn the sound down in the background for me. That way you'll be able to hear better. Because I know a lot of people like to listen to themselves talk like Bill does. But if you turn the sound down, you can hear a lot better.
I'm actually nowhere near my computer or the radio.
My sound
is
off.
My speaker's broken, so I can't listen to you guys on the computer either.
This is actually my first time calling in, too. It's
same
my
here.
First time listening to
same
this
here.
Station.
Good. A lot of people say, well, why does
well,
Bill
I hope they,
do
I
all
hope
the
they
talking?
Come back. Yeah, I hope
yeah.
they come back, Bill.
A lot of people say, why does Bill do all the talking? And that's because Screwdriver has to handle all the equipment. He has to do all the emails, whatever he's typing, whatever the hell he's doing. I don't A know or B care. But he has to do all of that stuff in there. So if you say, well, Bill, you don't let him talk. Well, if he's talking, he can't be answering all the emails and all that. So he does talk.
I'm doing the engineer thing, Bill.
Yeah, he's doing the engineer. We work together with that. You know, ladies, you know what? Forget that political. I'm going to ask the question to Canada right away. I just can't wait any longer.
Okay, you got
Canada, you still with us?
I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here too.
Okay, Bill's going to ask this question.
Yeah.
Kat, I want you to answer the question for him. And then the other two ladies, Priscilla and Marlene, can comment on that.
If they wish. Okay, Kat, I don't have a lot of romantic experiences. I'm kind of shy. And I've only slept with two Canadian women in my life.
Okay.
First girl I slept with. What? You making fun of me already?
No, my halo's on. It's a little crooked.
The first Canadian girl I slept with, she wouldn't take her socks off. I thought that was rather strange, but, you know, hey, at that time I had things in my mind, so blah, blah, blah. So a little bit later, I meet another girl down here in San Diego visiting from Canada, a snowbird, and bang, bang, bang. You know, she likes my Harley, my long hair, blah, blah, blah. So we end up, we're sleeping, and she won't take her socks off.
Guess what?
No,
my socks are off right now.
I don't wear socks.
I don't even wear socks.
Me either.
But don't kill his build-up here. Don't kill his build-up. Let him finish the story, and then you guys can tear him apart.
So I asked the second one, because I've only been with two women. So, again, I'm not very knowledgeable.
Two
Canadian women, okay. And I asked them, why is it you wear the socks? And the girl said, the floors in Canada are so freaking cold, Bill, we hardly ever, 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 ever put our feet on the floor, unless we have socks or slippers or something like that. It's just, most of us Canadian girls just keep our socks on full time. I had never had any other experience than the other Canadian girls. And I want to know from Canada, is that
something? Learned your lesson the first two times.
Well, you know, I put up with it, though, because I have thoughts on my mind.
No, most of us don't wear socks.
No, I don't wear socks. I wear them sometimes, of course. I wear runners and boots, but no, normally it's just barefoot around the house.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, I don't.
And definitely
in Europe,
not during sex.
Do you have heated floors, or are you that cold in Canada?
Yeah, it's cold in Canada, but not all year round.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cold in Boston in winter.
I'm originally from Brazil, so we don't really wear anything at all, and definitely not socks. We probably will walk around the whole entire house in flip flops, but that's pretty much it.
Just flip flops, okay. Nothing else.
Barefoot. I'm just barefoot. I'm from BC, right? So it's like right on the coast here. It's beautiful here, so we got really good weather. Not much snow.
Us two right here. We live on the coast. We have beautiful weather, and we can ride our bikes every day.
I just want to give you ladies a little indication of where we do live. In 12 minutes, you and I are in the ocean.
Right.
Mount Palomar is where it's snowing. Mount Palomar, 50 minutes from right here.
Right.
Let's make it an hour and 20 minutes. We can be outside the mountains. We're in the middle of the desert, and in 45 minutes from your house right here, we can be in Mexico.
Absolutely.
Snow in the wintertime, we got the ocean full time. Mexico's always calling upon us. We go down to Ensenada, Mexico for a Mardi Gras. It's not Nolens, it's not Rio de Janeiro, because Mexico is still
It's kind of like Vegas, Bill. What happens in Ensenada stays in Ensenada.
Except for the fact that Mexicans are killing each other left and right, but that's cartel business. We've been on an awful lot because Mexico is a beautiful, wonderful place. We have the ocean.
Get lost, Bill.
No.
Take your way the road. The ocean's on the right, coming back is on the left.
That's right. Anybody that wants to go to Mexico and they're worried about going to Ensenada, as he just said, you keep the ocean on your right. You can't get lost. Going back to America.
All the way down to Cabo, Bill. Keep it on the right. Left
we go down
to
Cabo. In November, we go down to mainland Mexico on motorcycle rides. What we like about Mexico so much is that it's so separated, small towns, a lot of wide open. And the people in New York and the people in London, the people in San Diego, they're city people. You get outside the city and people are nice people. And I don't care the fact that I can't speak Espanol. I just like being in small towns and fishing villages. I find you meet wonderful people there, you know. Plus, good travel to Europe, same thing. I don't know what country I'm in, doesn't matter. I meet good people.
Right on.
Awesome.
So, let me ask Boston again. Boston, you lived in Brazil? What city?
Well, I was actually born in Brazil, and I live in Boston at the moment, and I live in Alston, which is 5 to 10 minutes away from Boston.
I used to have a friend with sorry, lady, slip. God, I'm doing it. Brazilian martial arts is capoeira.
Capoeira, yes.
That's the
martial arts self-defense
dance. Absolutely beautiful to watch that, and when an expert does it, you know.
You know, we have these three on the phone, Bill.
I know.
And I wanna get their opinion on this.
Okay.
In California, we have this thing. It's called the California Step Act.
Mm-hmm.
And the stepping is a procedure to show you knowledge that an individual belongs to a criminal street gang and how it's done. Now, if you three were standing on the corner and you were all wearing, say, a Steelers shirt or a whatever, a Boston Patriots shirt, Canada,
yeah.
I'm not sure the team.
Oakland Raiders. There we go.
Whatever shirt you're considered a gangster now. So here's what happens. Cop drives by. He calls the sergeant on the phone and he says, "Hey, I just saw these three people on the corner. They're all wearing gang affiliation shirts. I think we need to investigate." So what happens is this guy goes to his sergeant. The sergeant, they fill out the paperwork. They come back and they go to see you at your house, or they'll grab you on the street, get all your information, fill out a contact card, so they get all your information. So now anytime something happens with anybody wearing that shirt, they're going to come knock on your door. So when they come knock on your door, they're going to give you a thing. It's called a notice of determination on the person that this guy believes, he determines to believe that you belong to this criminal organization. This is how it goes in California. If you're wearing a support shirt for any club, you're considered part of that criminal organization. Whether you're a hang-around, a prospect, wannabe, whatever, you're now considered part of that gang. So you're notified about the notice of determination. They charge you under Penal Code 186.22. After this guy comes to see you, he gets a proof of service, which what they're going to do now is take your photo and a fingerprint and why it's done, because they want to eliminate prior knowledge that can be easily proved. So when you go to court, the prosecutor will be able to show that notice was given prior to the commission of the crime for which the defendant is being prosecuted. So what that does for them is it lays their foundation, and they can enter your photo and fingerprint into evidence. What do you guys think about that?
I don't like that.
It's
a little extreme.
Ladies, then you ride your own motorcycle. Let me ask that question first before we get into that. Do you have your own motorcycle?
No.
No, but I plan on being a hot biker chick for Halloween.
Oh, okay.
I'm already a biker chick, so I don't have to dress up as one, but it's like I have a lot of biker friends. But no, I don't believe in what you just said. That's wrong.
We
encourage
everybody.
Yes, well, that is just ridiculous.
We want everybody to understand that about the California laws, because we have people calling in, well, not only from all the states. We have our Australian brothers and Canadian brothers. Every country, every state has got different laws, and we encourage talk about it so we can share it back and forth. Because as I always say, what affects you today in Boston,
that's right,
will affect us tomorrow in California. So
does
everybody ride motorcycles as a passenger?
Yeah.
Then ladies, get off the back of those motorcycles.
And get on the front.
It's time for you to ride your own motorcycle.
You know, it's weird because my brother has motorcycles and he rides all the time. And I've actually only been on his bike once because he goes super fast and he just does it on purpose just because it scares me a little. And about on Sunday, he actually went dirt biking, which is, of course, different type of motorcycle and everything, but he went dirt biking, and he was racing with one of his friends, and he actually fell off a small mountain and broke two of his ribs and his fingers and his arms. So that's what you get for him trying to show off to his friends on the dirt bike. So
he's
I think
eagle.
The motorcycle on the street might be a little more safe for me to be on.
Oh, that's funny.
Wait,
yeah,
I assure you, all of my injuries are off-road racing. I believe that off-road riding makes me a better street rider. Most people who ride streets are more concerned. It's the off-road where you let your guard down. That's where you have all the injuries. Be careful of off-road riding, guys.
Yeah.
You know,
I've been in a motorcycle accident
to...
before with my my ex-husband, and we hit black ice, and we just slid, and all I heard him yell was, tuck your leg up, because he didn't want the bike to land on my leg, which I hurt my hip when I landed on the ground, but no, I didn't have the bike land on me, which I was thankful for. So, yeah, been there, done that. Got to be careful.
Well, it's just like,
yeah.
You know, if you guys ever get pulled over for a traffic ticket and you're detained for a traffic stop, and they want to give you a notice, you don't have to accept that notice. You can sign for the traffic violation, but don't be tricked into agreeing to a lesser charge in lieu of signing, because if they give you a notice of determination, you don't have to give them your thumbprint and a photo.
Okay.
Well, that's good to know.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
You know, the other important legal stuff with that is when you're asked to comply with an officer's request before talking to the officer, or giving up your rights, or politely inform him that if your attorney gives you permission to do so, you will be willing to comply with the officer's request. However, you have made a commitment to your attorney to refuse the request prior to consulting with your attorney. And when the officer states, I'm going to search you, okay, they're asking for your permission. Don't agree. You don't have to give up your rights. I will not,
okay.
And your response should be, I will not obstruct or delay your investigation, but I do not give my consent for a search. So this is where it gets tricky, because now you got to stand up for yourself, so you got to let them take you to jail.
Oh, okay.
Ladies, I want to point out to you that when you do a confront about a police department, this does not be an adversarial stop. You do not have to be uncomfortable having the police stop you. You are Americans. You're driving an American vehicle. You're driving on American roads. If the police stop you, you should have the same respect for them as you have for the firefighters or the dog catchers. You let them have power if you're afraid of them. Know your rights. I always tell everybody, just say yes or no. Do not shoot yourself in the foot by giving information. Keep it simple. But remember, when you're pulled over, just say to yourself, I'm an American citizen. This is not Nazi Germany. I'm not afraid of the police department. Do not give these people more authority than they need. Do not say, what the F you stopped me for, or do not say, gee, have a nice day, officer. You know, no, that's all bullshit and pretentiousness. If they stop you, say yes or no. Keep the question basic with that. When you sign it, leave. The police that give you a ticket, ladies, listen, all they do is give you a ticket. It's you go to court, the judge decides what this is about. If you try to fight your ticket with the police officer on the side of the road, all you're doing is making your case worse, I guarantee you. Have little or no contact with the officer. This is in your car, your truck, your motorcycle, I don't care. Say yes, say no, sign the ticket. Go to court. Remember, the cop's not the judge. Don't make this a long conversation. You don't need to make new friends.
Keep it short and sweet.
You know, exactly. Unless the cop's really cute and you want to bat your eyes, maybe that'll work for you.
Yeah,
it doesn't work shit for me.
Yeah, we just laughed a little.
Hey, one day this guy, we had some trouble last year, and this cop pulled Bill over for going 37 miles an hour.
38 and a 35.
Just to bust his balls.
Did I get a ticket? No. The way I handle myself. I asked him to state the reason to pull me over. I asked to state how fast I was going. I asked to state the speed limit. And I said, hey, what are we going to do? He said, well, Mr. Kennedy, we're not going to write your ticket or anything, blah, blah, blah. It's how I handle the situation. In a sense, the police department is like kind of like the military. You have a private, a corporal, and a sergeant, and then you have a lieutenant. You have a captain and a major and a colonel and a general, right? Okay, follow me in this, guys. They're used to a rank situation. The more you control yourself, hold yourself in reserve, the more they're less likely to challenge you. If you lose control, they think, aha, I'm superior to this person. I'm going to bully this person around. No. You stay in control. For everybody listening to me, I want to point out again, if you get stopped in a vehicle, any vehicle, you have the first 30 to 45 seconds is critical to who is going to control the stop sign. You or the officer, the man or woman stopping you. What's negative is you have to remember the officer, man or woman, doesn't know if you're an axe murderer or not. So you have 30 to 45 seconds to be in command of the situation. Doesn't mean you always get out of a ticket, but the ticket you have will be so much better if you go to court and discuss this with the judge. But so many people I know, and my good buddy Screwdriver, he gets a little emotional at times. He does not like being stopped. Nobody likes being stopped. So I'm asking everybody out there to consider your options. Be
you know
aware
why,
of the situation.
Because I'm an American citizen.
I thought because you're Chicago.
No, well, that's part of
okay.
it, but I'm an American citizen, and I don't want to be fucked with out enjoying my rights.
And you're an American veteran?
Yeah.
And you're a family man?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why
so,
should
so
we
the
be
issue would be is...
Hang on a second. We have another woman jumping in to speak up.
Why not just follow the rules?
No, that's not going to happen, though.
You know?
You know?
I mean...
You know...
Okay.
We all speed a little bit.
I speed. I was calm.
Uh-huh.
I got a ticket.
Yeah.
I went to court. Remind you.
Right.
There's no number of misdemeanors to get a felony.
Right.
Okay, so when they want to tell you that for acting like a lawyer, there isn't one. I've checked it out. You argue your case, or as you say it, discuss your case.
With the judge.
Just the facts, be specific.
That's right.
So when you're at the stop, you pay attention to all the little details.
That's right. Don't shoot yourself in the foot. Don't make their case better. But you have a real disadvantage, though. Because as soon as you go into court, it brings, whoop, she's with Screwdriver. And that's why it's not you, and they pick on Screwdriver. I'm telling you.
I have that argument.
Ladies, I got to tell you, Screwdriver's old lady is a hard-riding motorcycle rider. Harley-Davidson rider. You drive a what, dear?
Softail?
Softail. I'm sorry. I know it's a softail. Which, just a...
Nitrane?
Nitrane softail. Yeah. Everybody here is going to pick out their own motorcycle for riding. If you want to buy a Honda, Yamaha, Kawasaki, to get your experience in there, I want to point out again, there is nothing more sexy than a woman riding down the road on a motorcycle. You will expand your circle of friends. It'll be like overnight, why did I wait so long? Over and over and over, girls come into my business. My brother and I are lucky enough to own a motorcycle shop, Kennedy's Custom Cycles. We only do Harleys. But women come in and they go, why did I wait so long? I have to wait for this boyfriend, or if I don't have a boyfriend, there's a run going on. I've actually got some friends of mine, which it's sad. They actually ride around in their cars, and they have a helmet in the back, because we have to wear helmets in California. In case they meet a guy, they can go for a ride. Ladies, listen to me. Get your own motorcycle. Then 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the morning, your bike is saying, hey, let's go for a ride. Let's go down the road. Let's stop at a coffee shop. Let's stop at a bar. Have a drink. There are people out there that want to meet
soda,
you. That's true. Well, yes, they'll definitely don't have two drinks in this state anyway, for God's sakes. I don't know why you ladies would be somewhat apprehensive. What is holding some of you ladies back? Let's jump in anywhere, please. Tell me why you haven't got a license yet, haven't got a motorcycle, please.
I was in a really bad car accident when I was actually 18 years old, and my head smashed the windshield, and my head hasn't been 100% since. I'm, like, sensitive to light. I'm scared of being behind something to be the one in charge kind of thing.
Oh, my goodness, we're twins.
Huh? Oh my goodness, you're my twins.
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah. So that's why I kind of rely on other people to drive me now, and it's not a good thing, but you know what? I do a lot of walking, I find. I exercise more. And when I get a ride, hey, by all means, I'll go for a bike ride on my brother's bikes, right? I have two brothers with two Harleys, and I absolutely grew up with them, and I loved them. So, you know, I respect the bike. I respect people when you're out there. You got to be more cautious for the bikers and crap like that. But, you know, I just found that I couldn't be the one to be behind the wheel kind of thing. That's me. Sorry.
Feel that you're uncomfortable. Absolutely nothing I say tonight, let that change your mind, because everybody has to make their own choices. Whatever choice you make it for your own reason with that. So, well, I'm encouraging everybody, if you feel a bit concerned, all that means is you're not ready today. Maybe tomorrow you'll change. How about the other two ladies? How do you feel about getting your own license?
Soon.
Well, yeah, for me it was the same issue. I had a really bad car accident, and I haven't really been...
That's because you need to get out of that cage and get on two wheels.
Yeah. You know, my brother, I actually bought my brother's motorcycle as a birthday gift to him. And I'm such a good sister, but because I didn't get anything in return for my birthday. But I bought him his first bike, and I actually stopped by the shop where I got it from, and they were trying to get me to buy a motorcycle for myself, and they were even saying, you know, we can custom make it, we can change all the parts, we can make it as girly as you want, or, you know, make it different colors and everything, and I'm actually really considering it. I actually really want a lime green one. I don't know...
Here for a second,
please.
What is the
best motorcycle for a female to ride?
Yes, I want you to stop for a second, please, because you're getting a little bit off track. The color means nothing. The look means nothing. What you have to understand is what we at our shop call the Kennedy Triangle. The right handlebars and the right foot pegs will make that bike perfect for you. Again, I'm six foot tall. If you were to borrow my pickup truck, move the seat forward or backward. You can ride any motorcycle once you get the right handlebars, the right seat, the right foot pegs, perfect. Then you can talk about a paint job or girly, anything. It is so important, like when you get in a new car, you've got to get the vehicle perfect for you. Think about that first always, please.
Awesome. I will, definitely.
But you got to get somebody that knows about bikes when you do that, otherwise it's just going to be lip service.
Kind of a long drive to come out to California to talk to people about getting the bike set up right. But remember the Kennedy Triangle, handlebar, seat, and foot pegs. And what's right for you has to do with injuries to your wrist, your elbow, your shoulders, your hip, your knee, and your ankle. And also, I don't know how tall you are, say 5'6". Some people have long upper torsos. Some people have long legs. Everybody is different. We all carry injuries. You fell off the swing the second grade, high school, soccer, whatever. We all have different injuries, but with the right combination, handlebar, seat, and foot pegs, I guarantee you, it'll be perfect for you. Now, we only heard from two. What about the other lady? I didn't hear about that. What happened? We heard by two reasons why both of them were in accidents. What's the third? Kat?
Yeah, I'm
Kat?
Here.
Okay. What about you and the motorcycles, Kat?
I just haven't gone.
Okay. If you ever think about it, I strongly encourage you to go to motorcycle schools. Never let a friend teach you how to ride a motorcycle. It could be somebody...
Oh, no. I'm definitely going to go for my license, but here you have to go take a course.
Well, I think courses are good.
Courses are good.
You see, what's wrong
sure.
What's wrong with people like me, Kat, is, and I go out to the motorcycle safety courses now and then, and I blow through them just because they're friends of mine. And when I get finished, I pull up, and the instructor says...
Don't drive like this guy.
That's what they say.
I definitely won't get my license.
Take everybody raises their hand. I have so many bad habits which I compensate for. So they like in the school people with limited to no experience so they can teach you the proper way of doing it. Again, motocross, desert, hill climbing, drag racing. I do a lot of things which the book says, well, you shouldn't do that. But that's the way I am. It's not going to change. So if you do go to school, then you're talking about safety instructors, which are going to give you the good way, not like somebody like me teach you, even though I would teach you wonderful, you'd have my bad habits. So please don't follow anything I say in that department. Screwed up, you went to school, didn't you? Did you ever go to motorcycle school?
I did.
No.
No, okay. Gina, you
I
went
did.
To motorcycle. Okay, yeah.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, and I think that that's... Well,
well Angela says when she took her bike test, she fell off and broke her fucking ribs and still got back on and passed it.
Wow.
Well, it's an issue of the point, even with what women, is once you get it, get going, it's crazy exciting and...
There's nothing more sexy than a girl going down the road.
You know, all
nothing.
Of that, I mean...
Sometimes I'm in the gas station and the girl rides by and some other guy in the gas station filling his truck up too. I'm filling my truck up maybe. Guy says, hey man, did you see that? That was a girl, man. That was a girl riding a Harley. And I go, yeah, I think it is. I never tell the guy, I own a motorcycle shop. I own 60 motorcycles. I never break their balls like that. But a guy going by, it's just not the same as a girl going by.
Well, you know, Bill, they might be scared if they have to do their safety inspection list, you know, because... Basically, everybody doesn't. A lot of people think it's like a car. Put gas in it and it goes. There's a lot of things you have to do. You got to check the tires. You got to check the rims. You got to check the bearings. You got to check the oil. You got to check all your lights work. All your turn signals
we
work.
We call it the
pre-flight
and post-flight inspection. That's a good point to make because
like right here?
I don't want anybody that owns a motorcycle to say, well, I don't know how to check my oil. What the hell's your problem? You are responsible for the motorcycle. You're responsible for safety on it. If your tire looks a little bit bald and you see it and you don't do anything about it, I'm telling you right now, you don't belong in the motorcycle.
Well, if you're not, yeah, and if you're not sure, just grab a penny if you can see the top of Lincoln's head.
You don't need to be a mechanic, but you need to do safety inspection. We do a lot of runs out of our shop there in Oceanside. And what I'll do is I'll have my mechanics walking up and down, and they'll pull people out of the line, send them to the back. And they'll say, well, why can't I ride up front? Because your motorcycle is not safe. If you're going to crash, you crash on your own. I don't want you crashing in the middle of our pack and messing us up with that. Am I being cold-hearted? No. But it is your response, man or woman. This isn't a gender issue here. Man or woman, you've got to understand your responsibility, your motorcycle. Did I scare anybody off? I'm sorry.
No,
I'm still here.
I'm still here.
Because, you know, Bill, this came in. You might want to check.
Oh, you got that, bro. You tell me that.
Mm. Well, you know, it's like somebody mentioned earlier you want to be able to look and check and see for motorcycles. But there's we have a friend of ours, John Del Santo. He writes all these things every once in a while. But he wrote, William Shakespeare wrote, to be or not to be, that is the question. To motorcycle riders, though, it should be to see or not be seen is the question, and it will get you through the day. Blind spots is a cool sounding name, but blind areas is better description of what we deal with out here. Why do they call them blind spots? Because there's no areas around many types of vehicles in which are visible at all. We'll be someone's blind spot 1,000 times each day. We just need to stay there for as short a period as possible when we're temporarily in someone's blind area, which usually happens, Bill, because, you know, I split lanes and they're talking on the phone. No, split lanes.
Legal in California, though.
That's
illegal.
Legal
substitute.
But they're on the phone, or they're typing in their iPad, or they're texting.
Mm-hmm.
Putting lipstick on. Even that lady that got arrested in Florida driving and got in an accident because she was shaving her cooch.
Mm-hmm. Some people, one of the things I worry about is a lot of people, like me, driving downtown, and I see a store that's got that mirrored front. So when I look in the window, I can see reflection of myself, see how hey, I look. That's a bad thing to do. Shouldn't do that. I do it all the time. Don't look at yourself right down the road.
Because, you know, Bill, it's just like, you know, today's cars, most of them are so tight and soundproof, and they all have, you know, they all have bumping stereo systems. They can't hear you.
I like the old days before when we didn't have the helmets because I think it improved our hearing much better, you know?
What?
Before we had the
good one.
The views I get. I walk into this stuff here, he sets me up all day, you know.
like this, Bill, being a motorcyclist, okay, to see and be seen is the goal that I want to ride with. As soon as we assume that other drivers know we are there, you're fucked.
Did you say ugly drivers or other drivers?
No, other.
Oh, sorry,
other.
Okay, I just wanted to.
Because most of the time, we know what they're going to do. If they're talking on the phone or their left hand, Bill,
they're coming left.
Right.
If they're talking on the right hand, they're going right. If they're texting, they're not looking at you, and they're zooming all over.
I wish every American could once go into Mexico with a screwdriver, and I say that because these people in Mexico have no idea how to drive anything. They drive on the left, they drive on the right, they drive down the middle. We've always said that if you can go to Mexico with us, you can drive anywhere in the world. Has anybody been to Mexico?
No, I've never been.
No.
A bunch of shy little girls here. Girls, we'll keep an eye on you.
You might want to say hello to... She's calling in. She's on. She's listening from London, Bill.
Oh, Angelus Nefarious?
Yeah. Hi, Angelus.
Hey, how are we doing? Is she on the air right now?
No, she's she's listening in London.
So many people. Every now and then...
She's there with Absentia.
Oh, and what do we hear about a crazy man out there in London?
He disappeared.
You know, we had a friend of ours, and maybe Boston can think about this. This guy from London...
He was originally from Brazil.
He would run over to Brazil, like, monthly, and then fly back to London, and then go back to Brazil, and then come back to London. I never asked him what he did for a living. In London time, he was listening to us 4:30 in the morning, and I have no idea how he stayed awake all night always, but almost weekly he went back and forth on the airplane. I don't know what he did for a living. Interesting.
You know, Angelus just said that they want to go to Naples because the fucking men there can't drive.
Oh. We were in Ireland a while ago. I asked the people, I said, is there any problem? He says, no, but watch out for those people from Italy.
Yeah.
She can't.
She says our friend was a drug dealer.
No. Is that, you think, what he did?
I don't know, Bill.
I'll be, maybe she knew him. We didn't know. I never asked that. You know, you go back and forth. Brazil's got a lot of beautiful things, I'm sure, you know. So who would comment on that? Why he waited till 4:30 in the morning just to talk to us all the time was amazing.
He might have been a tweaker, Bill, if he was up at 4:30 in the morning. Over
I
there.
Asked him what he took. He said he took a lot of...
When it's 4:30 over there, it's 6 o'clock here.
I know. I asked him what he took. He said he took just lots of vitamins. He took lots of vegetables. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask, any ladies been to Europe?
Nope.
No.
Little girls, we have to get you out of the house.
Are you offering?
I know, that's what I was going to say. Come get us. Come get us.
Yeah, we're ready then, we'll pack.
Yeah,
we need the escorts and our bodyguards.
There you go, that worked out perfect.
2007 and 8, we actually had lots of money. I export motorcycles around the world, and boy, it was going, but I got no money. I don't know anybody in America's got any money anymore. I used to rock around with a lot of money.
Well, you know,
now I got change in my
pocket. Well, I'll tell you this, Bill. You know where all the money's going?
China.
No.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they got the national debt.
It's coming this way, Bill. It's going that way. It's coming this way. But, you know, most of the states, they're taking on more federal funds.
Yeah.
Those traffic safety grants?
Yes.
Now, check this out. You guys have probably all participated in a DUI checkpoint, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Now, we're in the United States, you're in Canada, Boston, London. All of a sudden the police come out and tell you they're going to do motorcycle only safety checkpoints. They're broke. A lot of states in California, including California. California is like 29.8 million people.
Revenue.
Every ticket here is just to generate money. Our court system is like an extortion ring. That's why we tell you go to court, because 9 times out of 10, that guy writing the ticket is just doing a quota, and half the time they don't come to court. And also, if you're taking, it's a 50-50 chance. But if you happen to talk your way into getting a ticket by standing up for yourself, and you go to court, and the 9 times out of 10 that I've gotten a ticket, one guy I show up out of the 10 tickets.
It's how you handle yourself. The officer has to make a decision. Is this person going to fight me on this ticket? Is this person just going to sign it? Remember, they just want you to pay the ticket. They don't want you to go to court. And I don't want you to think we're adversarial against police. We're only
okay,
against
let me ask you
those
this. Let me
police
ask you
who
this.
Abuse their authority.
The three of you on the phone, which one? The last time one of you got a ticket, let me finish before you say anything. The last time one of you got a ticket, did you just pay it or did you go to court?
Go to court.
One at a time, please.
Went to court.
Good for you.
And what happened?
Well, I won.
Okay. And the next one?
I didn't ever get a ticket.
Okay.
I never had a ticket.
Okay. Knock on wood, because your first one might...
Now, see here, this is a good example of somebody who wears a really short skirt and a lot of cleavage showing. That's probably why she didn't...
Yes, officer. I've been a very good girl. And then you don't get a ticket.
That's right.
You bat your eyelashes, you toss your hair to the side. I'm kidding. I obey the law. I just don't get stopped.
I've never had a ticket either.
Here's what I do. I get pulled over.
A lot.
That's only because of the way I look, Bill, and what I ride. Anyway, then they approach me. Lately, the last few months, I started wearing a full-face helmet with a dark shield, so you can't see my face. So the first question is, where are you going? Point A. Where are you coming from?
Point B.
You're not going to answer any of my questions, are you? No. I don't have to. Then it goes into, well, take off your helmet. I want to see your face. So the one I have now, you hit a little button on the top, and it flips up so you can see my face.
And you also have the recorder going. And you point that out to the police.
That's the next one. So when we start talking and he asks me, at that point he'll say, let me see your license, registration, and proof of insurance. So before I get handcuffed for my own safety.
Which he does a lot.
I pull down the zipper on my jacket and I tell him I'm reaching into my pocket and I'm going to bring out everything you asked me for, but I'm also letting you know now I'm turning on my recorder. And usually I'll get, you can't do that. And then after I explain to him that I can, their whole tone changes. Now they become polite. It's almost like I'm getting my ass kissed, huh?
Please, I don't want you to think that we're both paranoid and we're not. We're just telling you that as men, we do get put over by men, and then it's always like, who's going to be the bigger rooster in
the
hen house?
Yeah.
So you have to present yourself in a manner that they can at least respect.
Right.
Because if they think they can run over, they're going to give you a ticket. If you try to act like a tough guy, they're going to have tough guys. You have to present yourself in a manner. Ladies, you may have your own secret weapons how to get our tickets, but we encourage people, again, just keep it simple. Or as I always tell everybody, just shut up. Makes it easy with that.
And then,
short and sweet, there is no problem.
That's right.
That's it. The other thing I do is I ask them for their business card, and they say, well, my name and everything's on the ticket. I said, but that isn't what I asked you. I asked you for a business card. Well, I don't have any. Okay, I'd like to see your watch, Commander. And everything stops. It usually takes 10, 15, 20 minutes for that guy to get there. So when
he is mad.
And he's pissed off already because he was probably sitting in Dunkin' Donuts and I interrupted his coffee time, which they usually call doing their reports. So when he gets there, I ask him. Now, when he's pissed off, so he's going to take it out on me, so I ask him for his business card. Well, why do you need my business? Because you showed up here. I requested you to be here, and I want your business card. So when I fill out my IA complaint, I spell your name right. The whole thing changes after that, too.
It's how you handle yourself again.
It's how you handle yourself.
We're not trying to be paranoid. Just to understand, in California, especially Southern California, we have every damn motorcycle gang probably in the world almost. Somebody's got a chapter here. So we're full of stuff. The police do not know, again, who we are when they pull us
no,
over.
No, 3 weeks ago, the guy pulled me over, thought I was somebody else,
yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
He told me to take off my helmet. And I flipped up, and he goes, you're being a smartass. I told you to take off the helmet. I said, no, you said you wanted to see my face. Because the last guy that asked me to take off my helmet, he said, no, you better not. And I said, why is that? He said, you might take a swing at me with it. I said, no, you got a gun. I don't have one. Because that's what they want to do. I've got videotape and everything on my blog where they shot a guy in the back for nothing at a stop sign. Because he didn't listen to what they told him to do.
Just follow directions. Ladies, again, we're not trying to make you uncomfortable. We just want to understand a little bit. If you do stop any car or your truck, have some identity. By the way,
I got news for you, too. If it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you happen to be on your way home, and you get pulled, and all of a sudden the lights go on behind you, you don't have to pull over right there. You can drive to where you feel comfortable.
It's well lit.
To where you feel comfortable, whether it's well lit or whatever. But you don't have to stop right where you're at, right where they try and stop you.
And this is so critical.
And you have to tell him, I wasn't sure who it was. And if he says, well, it's a police car.
I felt uncomfortable.
I just felt uncomfortable.
And please, this is so critical for everybody, daytime, nighttime. If you're driving your car and you get pulled over, immediately at your fingertips, driver's license, insurance, and registration. Don't look around for that stuff. Have that bang, bang, bang.
We have a call from England, Bill.
England, who's coming in from England? England, you're live. Who's on? Who's calling from London?
Hey.
Oh. Hi, Sid.
Hello.
Who? Yes.
Hey, it's Angel.
How are you doing?
All right. Just thought I'd better ring up because I can hear you all chatting. I'm typing away, so I thought I'd just ring in and see if you got me out of bed.
Here?
So what? Huh?
The other three ladies are on the phone. We have Kat.
I know Kat.
Priscilla out of Boston. Marlene out of Canada. And you're out of London.
I am. Hi, girls.
Hey there.
Hi.
Hey. It's like the UN here.
Sorry?
It's like the UN. Yeah. We're representing all of our countries and locations.
Oh, my God.
Women power.
And now you've got me in London.
Hey. The guy you're outnumbered now.
Yeah. Yep. That happened the last time, didn't it, Phil?
It always happens.
Yes. Oh, dear.
Still uncomfortable. Hey, that's what I'm saying. When you guys already get your own motorcycles, I'm telling you, the next chapter to your life is going to start. You will never get off your motorcycle. The world is waiting for you out there.
I cannot wait.
I mean, I've fallen off
of mine.
Well, just to let you guys know right now.
Just to let you go. You've got to get on, haven't you? You'd never do it. It's like riding a horse or something, I suppose, you know.
If you don't get back on, you're a fool.
Yeah, you got to get back on, you know.
Aww. Of course you
I mean, you're lucky, like, in Canada and America, because your roads is, like, really big. You know, you got really lovely roads over there. Fucking hell, man.
You
come to London, it's treacherous, you know. We've got, potholes in the road, little windy lanes. You're taking your life in your hands over here.
We remember that.
Well, that's one of the reasons I carry a ball peen hammer on top of my saddlebag.
You know, I want to tell you very quickly before... Tells all the countries, only in London, and I'm not being insulting to England. Only in London do people send me drinks to my table. The maitre d', this is a drink, blah blah blah. I said thank you very much. Who sent it? The guy at the end of the bar. And what the hell makes me look like I am friendly? I don't know. But always when we're in London, men in nice restaurants send me drinks. I'm not saying all of England is strange.
Well, you know.
I'm just pointing out in London I have some strange people. Like that.
Well, I'm being funny, but what kind of pubs are you in?
I don't know. I'm a visitor. I just.
That is a good one.
Oh, God. Yeah, you know. I don't think we're strange. I just think the pubs you're going in must be a little strange, you know? Really.
But besides our visitors tonight, the people that are listening tonight, tell us what countries are listening to us tonight, bro.
Right now, Bill, there's 26,886 listening in the United States.
Listening, but not calling. Okay.
Canada has 2,806. Germany has...
One's calling only, but that's all right.
1,650.
Hey, one's better than none.
No, we appreciate that.
Australia is 1,301. Russia has 659. Switzerland is 565. France is 553. Denmark, with our boys in over there.
Our friend
Denmark is 544. in the United Kingdom, not just those two, but 513 other people are listening over there. In Slovenia.
Wow. Slovenia's been picking up an awful lot.
Yeah.
Now, in the past, we've had one person from China listening in, and all of a sudden...
He disappeared.
Yeah, and this is illegal, this transaction in China.
Like Priscilla will get a kick out of this, because right now in Brazil, there's 9,737 people listening.
Listen to her talk, yeah.
Oh, nice. That's pretty good.
New Zealand is 4,760. South Korea is 3,417. And France is 3,159.
So you ladies have no idea truly the amount of people that are listening to what you're saying now. They would like to call in. They, you know, write stuff to Screwdriver. But we really appreciate the fact you talking to us and talking to each other because of the fact that so many people... Let's talk about the power of women now.
So many
women can listen and say, I'd like to be more involved.
Yeah. It's
and
just like
you brave souls there.
Well, it's just like I met Priscilla. She wants to, you know, I offered her.
What does Priscilla want to do? What did you offer her?
I offered her Babe of the Week.
Oh, okay. I thought it was something smutsy.
So we're waiting for some pictures, Bill.
Okay. I worry.
Yes, I will be forwarding that very shortly.
Priscilla, if he offers to send you any nude pictures of him, just say no, okay?
No.
Okay. Sure. Only take yours, right? Not his, but only yours?
Yeah.
Well, we both ride black motorcycles, so we're kind of hard to spot difference in there. We both have long hair down our backs.
See, Bill,
but his is dark and mine's definitely gray.
Bill has long white hair with a white beard.
Yeah.
I have long black hair down in the middle of my back.
Because
nice.
Screwdriver's job is welding. He can't have that beard like I have down my face, you know. I like more like, what's that, with Gandalf? Remember that, was that Lord of the Rings? Who knows Gandalf? No.
No.
What the hell that guy was? Anyway, that wizard guy. I look more like the wizard going down the road.
Gandalf,
thank you.
Yeah.
I'm in all the motorcycle runs, and all these young club people, they all have no hair, no beards, no nothing. And I pull up, and I'm going, yeah. Around a long time.
You know, Bill, we just got the... We got the 92nd but we're having a good time. I don't think, what do you think?
I think you're going to continue, but I'm pretty damn sure. My stomach's rumbling. I'm getting hungry, so I'm going to leave about the 8 o'clock hour. But if something ladies would like to continue to talk a little bit, you can continue on, right, brother?
Well, now I got
speaking of leaving, it's 11 p.m. here in Boston, and I should
be leaving 60 seconds
as well.
What I'd like to do is offer them all to come back Tuesday.
Okay.
Tuesdays and Thursdays, ladies.
And Priscilla, if you'd like to be in consideration for Babe of the Week next week, send me the pictures before Sunday.
Every Tuesday, Screwdriver Man.
Awesome, I will do that.
And then every Thursday only, Screwdriver and I are together. So if there's something you want to ask me, we'd be together on Thursday. But Screwdriver, proudly, manly, all by himself, handles this program. We love to listen to everybody call in. And make new friends. I hope you guys can reach. How can they reach each other? You got that set up?
All they got to do, Bill, is send me an email.
Okay, listen to this, ladies. Now listen.
They can send me an email, and I'll forward all the addresses.
Anybody that wants their email sent out, he can do that.
Okay.
Ladies.
Awesome, yeah.
No.
I will forward that.
You know what? I haven't eaten anything. Does anybody cook dinner tonight? Does anybody cook dinner out there?
Yes,
it's 4 o'clock
here, for God's sake.
It's
8 o'clock
here.
11
o'clock at night here.
So what I'd like to do, like Bill said, is we thank you all for participating, and I really appreciate it. It just
You're
makes
welcome.
The show better.
And you have no idea how many women and men are listening to what you say around the world. They're just uncomfortable getting on. And you girls aren't uncomfortable talking, are you?
No,
of course not. First time I called, I was very shy.
We're women. We can talk forever. That's fine.
Bring us a cup of coffee or tea, and we'll sit back and
chat. That's right. I got my cup of coffee.
Yeah, Bailey's in it.
Oh, God. Oh, dear.
Awesome.
Wicked. Nice one.
I'll tell you guys right now, by 11 o'clock tomorrow, there'll be 20,000 hits on the archives.
Yes, people listen to us because of different frames. So that's like, as archive you said, yes.
Right.
So people can call tomorrow morning.
I get anywhere from 200 to 225 emails per day just about the show. People asking me when we're going to have this person on again, when we're going to have that person on. Tonight we were supposed to have a couple of attorneys on. They were going to talk about some stuff in Nevada. They filed.
Thank God they didn't. They're boring people to meet.
They filed a class action. Well, no, they took strippers with them when they served all the papers. But they filed a class action lawsuit against the city of Las Vegas, which 40,000 motorcyclists will be able to receive a part of whatever goes on with that. But it's not about the helmet law. It's about having a choice. Bill and I we're not against the helmet law. I'm against being told what I need to wear.
But it's only through programs like this, the Last Bastion of Freedom, we think that people across the world can get together. Right now, the United States Congress is trying to shut down programs like Screwdriver and Mine. They say they want to make it better. You can't make this better. Screwdriver and I have no sponsors. Money in at all. We are just Americans talking to people around the world. And yet they monitor us. And this is no paranoia on my part. They monitor everything we say.
Yes, we
because
know that.
We're talking about freedom.
Yeah,
we're not,
they're listening to us right now. So what I'm going to do is I'm gonna take us out with a little Mike P. and the big this.
Oh
Mike,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
This is Mike P. and the big homie. This
song.
Play it loud, people. Turn it up. And you can buy their tunes on iTunes as well. You got to tell everyone. Can I say that?
I'm gonna tell Mike he's got an agent in London.
Well, just thought I'd drop a hint.
This is Mike
P. Yeah, why not?
This one's called "Bump My Hits."
Yeah,
I'm gonna take us out with
on,
this.
Bad.
What I'd like
it.
To do is invite you guys all back on Tuesday, and if you got anything you want to talk about or anything you'd like me to look up so we can talk about it for you, just send me an email, which you can get. It's in. I put it in the chat room earlier. I'll put it in there before I sign off, and then just we'll talk to you Tuesday. So I'm gonna take us out with this. This one's called Mike P. the Big Homie and Stone Capone. This one's called Bump My Hits.
Ladies,
we'll talk to you next week. Good night, sister. Good night, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Going on when I hit the bad girl, they always playing my song. Watch the crowd, shit, move, and shit, they creep on.